You are listening to A True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Pastor Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I want to talk about followers and fans. Followers and fans. It's my intention that at the end of this sermon, you will determine which one you are. A follower or a fan. The multitudes continued to follow Jesus, and many, as the chapter starts out in 6:2, says a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did of them that had disease, and so they were motivated by his healing powers to follow him. Then he came to a place where there was no food, and they were long time preaching to the people. And he wanted to send the crowd away, but he would not send them away hungry. And so he asked his disciples to search out among you and see if there's anyone that has food to feed these. And disciples came back and said, Lord, we 200 penny worth of bread. That's 8 months. Salary is not sufficient, but every one of them will take a little in need. And they said, but we found a little boy here, and he's got 2 little fish and 5 little barley loaves. And barley loaves was that common bread. It was not the best bread. It was just the common bread. He said, but what is that among so many? But Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there were men, women, and children, but he said, make them sit down. Now, They sat down in groups, and then Jesus prayed over it. He blessed the little lunch that the boy had. Now, it is surprising to me that he's the only one that took a lunch. I imagine some of them disciples had something. They just wasn't giving it up. Amen. You know how we do. Amen. And so I'm thinking that this is the only food that they found, but they gave it to Jesus. And anytime you give something to Jesus and he blesses it, believe me, it will be enough. It will be sufficient to handle everything. Amen. So Jesus blessed it, and he took the loaves and he gave thanks and he distributed it to the disciples and the disciples to all of the people. And I wasn't there, but I'm thinking it's like when they broke off the head of a fish, another one popped up. And they would break off one and another one would pop up. And I don't know how they did it, but 5,000 people from 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread were fed that day. And not only were they fed, he said, now take up the leftovers. They had leftovers? Distributed fish sandwiches and had leftovers. 12 baskets full, one for each disciple. And so now the people said, listen, this must be the prophet. This must be the one that they speak of in verse 14. And when Jesus in verse 15 says, perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed and went up into a mountain alone. They was going to force Jesus to become their king because he was the Son of God, or the anointed, the Christ, the Messiah, but because they wouldn't have to worry about going to the grocery store anymore. We make Jesus king. We got it made. We look, he's feeding us in a starving land. He can put bread on our table. That's the one we should make king. But that wasn't his purpose. Jesus had performed the miracles to gather the crowds together, but that wasn't what his purpose was, to keep the crowds. For he came to bring them the gospel message, the good news of salvation. But he attracted them, and many of them were followers, but not really believers. For the Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The true followers were the ones who had received him as Lord and Savior, but the rest of them were simply fans. Fans of his ministry. Fans. That's all. You know what fans are, don't you? They're the ones who show up at the ball game. They sit in the bleachers. They don't participate. They're not part of the team. They're spectators. They eat up the hot dogs and the peanuts, but they're just spectators. They be calling strikes and balls from way back up in the bleachers. Amen. But they're not part of the team. They're just spectators. I was listening to the news the other day. I was watching the news on TV, and the Tigers just traded Justin Upton, one of their best hitters, and Justin Verlander, one of their best pitchers. And they were outside of the stadium interviewing a fan. Want to know what the fan felt about it. And I'm thinking, you ought to be going up and talk to management, because the fans didn't have nothing to do with what's going on here. They didn't talk about the salary cap or nothing, or what they were getting in return, but how do you feel that your best pitcher and one of your best hitters is leaving the team? That's a fan. Management has something to do with that, and you'd be surprised. See, fans come and go, and I'm one of those fair weather fans. If the Tigers are winning, I'm rooting for them. If they're losing, I ain't thinking about it. The same way with the Pistons and the Lions. Amen. If the Lions win, I'm with you. If you're losing, I turn on something else. Amen. I ain't thinking about you. Who's ever winning, that's who I'm rooting for. Amen. But unfortunately, it seemed that that fan thing had come over into the church. You see, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is a life event. You see, there are no tryouts to get on Team Jesus. If there was, you couldn't make his team no how. You could never be good enough to be on Team Jesus. Amen. The one thing I love about being on Team Jesus, you can't be traded. I got a no trade clause in my covenant. Amen. I understand, I don't have a contract, but I have a covenant. And I can't be traded. Amen. Let me throw some word on this. He said, John 6:37, all that my Father give to me cometh to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I can't be traded. Get on this team, and you get on Team Jesus, you not only will not be traded, you can't even join. You have to be drafted. Yeah. Amen. You got to be in the draft. Amen. You see, I'm drafted to Team Jesus. Come on, let me throw some one word on this from the 6:44. No man can come to me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him. That's the draft. And I will raise him up at the last day. We are drafted into the body of Christ. We're drawn by the power of God. Now, there are many things that draw us and draft us into Christ. And sometimes it's the goodness of God. Sometimes it's his everlasting love. But sometimes the conversion of a sinner is enlightened in his mind when he goes through difficulties, tragedies, threatenings, fears. And I know that fear will draw you, but fear won't keep you. Hard times will draw you, but hard times won't keep you. Only the love of God will keep you in Christ. See, we got some folk that look like they belong on the team, Jesus. That they show up for practice every Sunday. This is practice, by the way. Amen. They show up for practice every Sunday. They go through the thing. They go through everything. And they go through the drills and the exercise. But to be committed and to be disciplined, you have to be in Christ, not just around Christ. See, some people think they're going to get saved by association because they attend the church. The church can't save you. It's not you getting in the church. You got to get in Christ, and Christ has to be in you. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's if you're in Christ. Now, if you just occupying a pew, that don't mean too much. Amen. Oh, you may make other people think that you're a Christian. You'd be surprised how many people think they can make it if they can fake it. Oh, you can fake it for 2 hours every Sunday. Amen. You can say hallelujah. Amen. You can stand when the choir's singing. You can clap your hand. You can bow your head in prayer. You can sing the songs up on the screen. You can do all of that stuff. You can even give an offering. You can fake it for a long time. But you won't make it unless you've been born again by the Spirit of God. He draws us. He drafts us with a desire for peace, a desire for happiness. Amen. And it didn't mean that everything's going to be fine and I'll never have bad days or dark times, because that's in the mix. That's in life. Loved ones will die. You will be sick. He never promises that, but the obstacles that are there that prevent you from being Christ, in Christ, are removed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I'd rather be a Christian than anything in this world. Amen. My salvation is so important. It's the most important thing I have. Yes, my soul is saved. Yes, I wouldn't trade that for nothing in this world. You couldn't buy this, amen, because I'm following Christ. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. I'm a disciple, one who's being taught each time by the Word of God. Yeah, all the obstacles, the Holy Spirit had removed me. I was drafted into this Team Jesus. I'm committed, disciplined. Willing to take criticism. Amen. I follow the instructions outlined in the Word of God. I've been training with the team. Amen. And sometimes I train on my own. See, that's what we do. We pray here, we pray at home. We read here, we read at home. We train on our own. Even if you're sitting on the bench right now, you're not taking an active part. Maybe you're not singing in the choir. Maybe you're not ushering. Maybe you're not on the deacon board or trustee. Maybe you're just sitting on the bench, but you're willing to step up when somebody sits down. That's when you're on Team Jesus. You hear that there's something that shows that you're not just a fan, but a true follower. You pray always. You read God's word daily. You fast when necessary. You go when you don't feel like going. Amen. You smile when you want to cry. You repent of every sin daily, because you know, sometimes I get up in the morning repenting of the dream I had because I sinned in my dream. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know why I dreamed it. Maybe it was something I ate. I woke up with a smile on my face, but I repented of my dream because it wasn't like God. Amen. Some of y'all laughing because y'all been there too. Amen. Y'all trying to go back to sleep and dream some more of that. Amen. I forgive when I'm not being forgiven. I take the hits. I take the hurts, because this is a full contact event. Amen. I resist sin. Oh, you got to resist sin. Listen, this is what it says in Hebrews 12:4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In other words, you have not given your life for your struggle against sin. You haven't shed blood in this struggle, but Jesus did. He gave his life's blood for you. And so they were talking about bread. They wanted bread. They wanted to make him a king because he gave them fish sandwiches. So they looked for Jesus, and he had walked across the water while his disciples were in the ship, and they came together on the other side of Capernaum, and they found Jesus, and they wanted the, Jesus. They told him that, they said that, you know, what's the sign of you that, that you might be the Messiah? And he said, Moses gave our ancestors bread in the wilderness. And Jesus said, Moses didn't give them bread. My Father gave them bread. Let me correct you and get you right. He said, but now the bread has come down from heaven. I'm that bread that the Father sent. And over again, you'll see if you read the sixth chapter, Jesus is talking about bread. At least 9 times in this one chapter, he talks about bread. He said, I'm the true bread. He said, I'm the bread of God. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I am the living bread that come down from heaven. I'm the manna in the wilderness. But I'm here now. He said, the bread that I give you is my flesh. And they began to say, what is he talking about, his flesh? He was talking about he was ready to sacrifice his life for the people. Said, what I give you is my doctrine. You see, to follow Christ, you have to follow his doctrine. You can't just pick up what you want to and lay down what you don't want to. You got to follow Christ is to follow his doctrine. And if you're not following his doctrine, you're just a fan. You might like Jesus, but you're just a fan. You don't love him. You see, if any man come after me, he said, let him take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. Take up his cross. And Luke, he said, deny yourself daily. Deny yourself some of the pleasures of this life, because this life is over for you, because you've taken up a cross. And when you take up a cross, that demonstrates that this is no longer your life down here, because you have another life you're living up there. And when you get there, you'll hear him say, good and faithful servant. Well done. See, when you took up a cross, the Jews understood that when he said that in Matthew 10:38, he said, and if you take not your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. See, it ain't about wearing a cross, it's about bearing a cross. See, fans wear a cross. Believers bear a cross. Followers of Jesus bear a cross. He told his disciples in Matthew 16:24, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Then he asked, what profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus wants us to be followers, disciples, disciplined, and learning students of his word. To follow him is to accompany him and to follow his teaching. Let me throw some word on this so you don't think I'm making this up. He wants us to be followers. Matthew 4:19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew 8:22, but Jesus said unto them, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Matthew 9:9, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And then he arose and he followed him. Jesus says, follow me, follow me, follow me. He tells a rich young ruler one day, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They're not fans, they follow me. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Jesus wants us to follow him. Follow him. Be on team Jesus. Come on, let me make this plain to you, because I don't think some of y'all understand. You read your Bible, but you don't let your Bible talk to you. You read it, but it don't talk to your spirit, it don't talk to your soul. It ought to make you better. Now, let me throw some of what Paul said to the church. I'm going to read this from Ephesians 4:21. This is what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus. If so be that ye have heard him, and ye have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. If you have joined Team Jesus, he says, put off the former conversation, the old man. In other words, throw away your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You get a new mindset and have your thoughts and your attitudes adjusted. I'm trying to make this plain for you. And then he said in verse 24, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said, you are a new creature in Christ. You got to be new. You got to look new. You got to walk new. You got to talk new. You got to act new. You see, if any man be in Christ, he's changed everything. You ain't the same as you used to be. You're not just coming to church, but the church is actually in you when you leave. When you leave out the door, you still got the church with you. And you got the word of God with you. Listen. He said, this is what he said in verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying. You know Christians lie. Mm-hmm. They do lie. Some of them lie lately. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now sometimes you need not say nothing because everybody can't handle the truth. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody got bad breath. You don't say, you got bad breath. You just offer them a Tic Tac or two. Come on. You take a peppermint. Now take a whole bunch of them. But you know you're telling the truth. Amen. Speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Listen, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down on your wrath. You're going to get angry. We all get angry. It's part of our human nature. He said, but don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Amen. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather him labor, working with his hand, and things which is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. And then here's the one that I really want to emphasize. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Y'all don't know what that means, do it. Don't cuss. Quit fussing. You'll be surprised how many in here will cuss in a New York minute. A New York minute is real quick. Amen. That's a fast minute. You'll be surprised how many people, somebody step on your toe, some car pull out in front of you. You will cuss. Quit using profanity. See, fans cuss. Followers don't. I want to cuss. Oh, yeah, I want to cuss right now. And the cussing come up, but God won't let it come out. Sometimes the Holy Ghost just choke me while the word's trying to come out. Amen. But I'm a new creature in Christ. I know what will happen. The first time I come in here and cuss all of y'all out, the church will be packed the next Sunday. You won't be able to get in here. Let's go to that cussing preacher's church. Amen. He just cussed everybody out. Amen. Not going to do it. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up the body, that it may minister to the grace unto hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You have been sealed. You've been bought. You have been sealed. Amen. Let all bitterness, here it is. This is the end of it all, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let me say it another way. Get rid of all the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the harsh words, the slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of that. because you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But the Holy Ghost has his job, but you've got your job to do too. Yes, amen. You had a hard time drinking, don't go by the bar. Yes, and please don't go in, amen. Yes, well, I'm going to test my resolve. I'm going to go in here and see if I can just sit here at the bar without taking a drink. Don't try it, fool. There's some things you just need to walk away from. Amen. Pornography. It's everywhere. Don't try to test yourself to see if I can handle it. You can't handle it. You never could handle it. Stay away from it. It will kill you. It destroys your thought life. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. For just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's what followers do, not fans. So now Jesus has given them something hard. He said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And he wasn't talking about cannibalism. He wasn't talking about communion either. He was talking about, except you take me and my doctrine as a whole. Because what you eat, what you consume becomes part of you. And the only way that you can be a believer is to take all of Christ in you. And if you can't do that, you can't follow him. And when he went to his disciples and all the people started leaving him and walking away because they couldn't handle his doctrine. They couldn't either believe it or they, and you'd be surprised how many people walk away from God because they get mad at God. Because God didn't do everything he wanted them to do. The pastor was on his way to a conference and he got on the airplane and he sat next to a woman and she asked him what his vocation was and he said, I'm a pastor at such and such a church. I'm on my way to a conference, and while they were flying, everything was all right for a while, and then turbulence started to shake the plane. The bags dropped down and the plane kept vibrating. And the lady looked over at him and said, didn't you say you're a pastor? Can't you do something about this? He said, lady, I'm in sales, not management. So some of y'all get upset with God or get mad with me because God didn't bless you like you wanted him to. I'm in sales. I ain't in management. God is in control of it all. I don't know what God is doing and what he will do. I can pray for you. And I believe God has answered a lot of my prayers, but I'm not in management. I let God handle that. God knows what he's doing. He's omniscient in all of his ways. Yes, 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 yes. Brothers and sisters, where can the disciples said, he turned to the disciples, will you also leave? They said, to whom shall we go? When people get mad at God, where can you go? Who else can you turn to? Who else has the words of eternal life? The Pharisees? No. The Sadducees? No. The scribes? Islam? No. Confucius? No. Buddhism? Hinduism? Judaism? Zoroastrianism? Dualism? Mormonism? Astrology? Witchcraft? Hare Krishna? No one has the words of eternal life but Jesus. All of those founders of all those false religions go to their grave. They're still there. Their rotten bones are still there. But go to Jesus' grave. He's not there. For the Bible makes it plain that he died upon the cross for all of our sin. They put him down in a tomb and he stayed there Friday and Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave. That tomb is empty now because our Savior is resurrected from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He's not there, I tell you. Where can we go? Who else has washed us by his precious blood? Nobody but Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'm not just a fan of his ministry. I follow him. And as you follow me as I follow Christ. And if I ain't following Christ, get out from in back of me. Amen, because if the blind lead the blind, they both end up in the ditch. I'm going to follow Christ. Who has pardoned your sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who has comforted you in your tribulation? Nobody but Jesus. who has promised you always to be there even to the ends of the time. Nobody but Jesus. And who has promised to give you everlasting and eternal life. Nobody but Jesus. So what are you? A follower or a fan? Make up your mind. What you are. Stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we hope that it was a blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.